Lynch, and this is Inquiry. My guest tonight is artist, comics artist, printmaker, and poet, Julie Doucette. And we're talking about her new book, Time Zone J. Julie, welcome to the show. It is such a pleasure to talk to you.
Yeah, thank you. To me too.
Let's talk about Time Zone J. When I sat down to read this, and I've read a lot of your other work, this work was like a fever dream in the best sort of way. Did you draw and write this all in one sitting?
No, not at all. It was more like doing tapestry work. It took me quite a long time to do. It took me 2.5 years to do.
Well, the art runs page to page. It overlaps into one big thing. Like, I wanted to rip all the pages out and hang them on my wall. Did you draw this on a continual roll of paper?
Yeah, actually, I drew that on Japanese sketchbooks. Do you know what that is?
No, I don't. Talk to me about it. What's that like?
A Japanese sketchbook is like a sketchbook with only one long page, but folded like an accordion.
Yeah.
So it's great because it's like a book with many little pages, but you can unfold it like one long page. So I bought five sketchbooks like that. So I drew my whole book on five such books. So it's like five long drawings in the end.
Wow.
Yeah.
Had you?
Yeah. It looks great.
Had you ever worked that way before?
I did try. I try out one first sketchbook. That's what gave me the idea of doing that project.
It was an amazing experience for the reader. Has this ever been now exhibited as one long work of art?
No, not yet. But it will be soon, I guess. Yeah. What,
you mean you have a somebody's already suggested to you that it's going to be exhibited as one long page? I would love to see it in a gallery, around the outside of the gallery.
Oh my God! Yeah, no. The original is beautiful, that's for sure. Yeah,
it is. Yeah. I mean, I would love to see it as a. I may have to rip the pages out of your book.
No. But the original is much smaller, believe it or not.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Because there's so much drawing on every page. I thought this was shrunk down. You're saying?
No.
Now
but I had no choice. I couldn't find any sketchbooks bigger than that. I had to use whatever I could find. So.
Wow. Yeah. Now, even the choice of the paper seems important. It's a very rough grade paper. Did you want it reproduced on that kind of paper?
Well, you know, nowadays with the printers, you don't have huge choices of papers. But we were lucky with that paper, which is very, very nice and rough, which I really like that type of paper, which is more porous and... it's kind of thin and you can sort of see through. It's very Japanese-like too.
It is.
So yeah. It was perfect for that book.
But it adds another dimension to reading the book because you feel the texture of the paper the entire time that you're reading it.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Very
so
nice.
if this wasn't complicated enough for the reader, on the front piece you wrote, the book was drawn from bottom to top. So I'm sitting there as a reader reading this, and I'm thinking, so that's how I should read it, is from the bottom to the top?
Yeah, that's because that's because that I drew the whole book is drawn, it's freehand drawing, so it's improvised. Of course, the text is not improvised, but the drawing is. So that means that I had to start I had to start drawing from the bottom of, of the page and working from the bottom to the top. And because I knew I was going to fill all the page completely, so I had no choice to start from the bottom to then work to the top.
Well, you have one of the most recognizable styles in art and in comics.
Oh, yeah.
But usually there's a lot of blacks, you know, dark fill-in. These pages are filled with drawings from end to end. I've never seen anything like that from you.
Ah, okay.
Is this a new style for you?
New style. I've been trying different things.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah, and like I said, I did try that first Japanese sketchbook before, and that gave me the idea of doing that new project. And I had that story that I really wanted to tell, but I couldn't. I tried so many different ways to tell that damn story. And then
oh my God!
And then that way just seemed perfect, strangely, to tell that story. So I just did it that way, and I have been working with collage quite a lot. And
yes.
Somebody told me recently that book felt like collage work a lot. So that makes sense to me too.
It does. It does feel like collage work. Like I feel like you were drawing pictures that you were seeing around
working. That's exactly what I was doing. I was just picking pictures and drawing them.
The book,
like looking at pictures from magazines and newspapers, and just copying them. So, and that's why the process was very slow, because I was just looking around for interesting things to draw all the time. So, it was very time consuming.
My God. Well, for the reader, like myself, I found myself getting lost on every page because there was so much to look at that I kept thinking I was writing my own story in my head because I was trying to tie in all the little pictures to the main story. Do you understand?
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So I was like, on every page, I would just spend all this time just looking at the drawings on the page.
Well, that's nice. That's nice to hear, because it's always frustrating to think that people just, you know, very, very often people read comics in 2 seconds when you've been working on a comic for such a long time. It takes so much time to draw a comic.
Oh, I know. The book begins with a lot of talking to yourself, like the reader is looking at you talking to yourself on the page, and therefore you're also talking to the readers. You vowed never to draw yourself again at one point, but Time Zone J is so filled with drawings of yourself.
Yeah.
What happened in between? are you finally happy with drawing yourself?
No, but I really needed to draw myself for that project, because I just wasn't going to illustrate any of the story I was going to tell anyway, so I had no choice to draw myself all the time, because I was going to be the one who was going to tell the actual story.
It's like you drew yourself with a vengeance. But are you now, when you look back at the pictures of yourself, are you at least happy with the way you came out?
Oh, well, I don't really look like myself. I just can't draw myself. It's terrible.
I think I would recognize you from your drawings, though.
I don't know.
Okay. All right. While I was reading this, and I want to say this to the audience, it was a really interesting experience. I don't know whether to think of this as a comic or an artwork. Is it a comic?
Oh, that's such a big question.
I know, and maybe that was unfair, because I didn't prep you for that, but I looked at this as a piece of art, and that happened to be in the form of a comic.
Oh, Yeah, well, it's a narrative. There's word balloons, so in a way, it's a comic. But when you look at the original, and you know, if you looked at the original, if it was exhibited, of course, it would look like a piece. I mean, it's something in between. I don't know.
It's something other than a new thing. It's a different thing.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, you know, it's funny that you talked about writing this on Japanese paper, because
yeah.
Chinese and Japanese scrolls, traditional scroll art, go on for a long period of time. You unscroll it, and then the story continues down the thing. So this has some things in common with that.
Yeah, but it seems like the nowadays, anyway, there's less and less boundaries between comics and visual arts.
You're
anyway,
right.
So
many times,
I don't know.
That's okay.
Yeah.
But many times I was unsure when I was reading this if the story was mostly autobiographical or dreamed or both. It's a very wild story.
Yeah, but it really happened to me.
So it's totally autobiographical?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Whoa.
I know. That's why I just had to tell it. To me, it's like a dream too.
So once you got it on paper, and you got it outside of your head and onto the paper, was that a different experience than looking back on your life? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like looking at reading old journals. When you finally get it outside yourself and you look at it on a page, you have a different reaction to it sometimes.
Yeah, finally, yeah. I've been reading quite a lot of because I kept my diaries from the time.
Oh, God. Do you illustrate your diaries? Do you put pictures in your diaries?
There were some drawings, yes, and pictures and scraps of papers, and they were decorated, and there were all sorts of things, yeah.
One of the things I also enjoyed about Time Zone J is there's a lot of interesting background names thrown in quotes. Like, for instance, there was a quote from Joy Division's song, Atrocity Exhibition.
Mm-hmm.
So there seems like a lot. I find myself running to like the internet to check out stuff in the book, which is again something that seems different, an evolution of your previous art style. Did you always stick background messages like that in there in your work? I mean, I've seen a lot of your work, and I don't remember seeing this before.
No. That was very specific for that project, because it was a bit of a. In a way, it was a revisit of because I really needed to contextualize
the time,
the time,
yep,
of the action, and at the same time, it was a revisit of the time when I was starting to draw comics and the era of the Dirty Plot fanzine, when I was drawing fanzine, so it was a mashup of a lot of things, and I threw in a lot of information that way about the 80s, how it was,
mm-hmm,
back then, so
yeah.
All the lot of things about the culture of the time and all the Reagan era and all that. Yeah.
Can you talk
about important?
Yeah, I'm much older than you, so I lived through that time period. So
okay.
So for me, I could recognize, and for me, it did set the book in a specific time and place, and a specific kind of person that would know Joy Division lyrics. So talk about the source of the phrase Time Zone J. Is that a true story that's in the book, that there's this no Time Zone J?
Yeah, definitely. It's well, the character, one of the main character, who was this French guy who was doing his military service, wrote to me in a letter that he wrote to me about there were only 25 time zones. That each were represented by a letter, and only the J is not used.
Why not Z? When I read that, the first thing I thought of is, well, why wouldn't they leave off the last letter of the alphabet, Z?
So in the 80s, they had to learn things like that.
So that makes the whole, that sets a tone for the whole book.
It's like a
twilight zone. It's like a zone that's not there. It's like a phantom zone.
Mm-hmm.
And I also noticed, and I may be wrong about this, but you represented the Hussar as a J. There's a bird that goes throughout the entire book.
Yeah.
And it's a J.
Yeah, in a way, some sort of bird.
But it
could be a jay, but I wasn't sure exactly which bird it was.
It looks a lot like a blue jay that we have
around here in
New England. So then I started thinking jay as J-A-Y versus jay, time zone jay. And then it started to make sense in my head, but then I wasn't sure if I was just making it up in my head.
Okay, yeah.
But that's a good thing. That's a sign of great art when the person who's viewing it is writing their own story about it.
Okay.
Now, was this the most extraordinary long-distance relationship you were ever in?
Other long-distance relationships.
You've done other ones?
Yeah.
Do they ever work out?
No.
Oh, Julie. There's that phrase, amour fou, crazy love, you know, foolish love in French. I was just like, this story, and people have to read it, and we're laughing about it, but it's a tense story. I was on the edge of my seat. I thought one of you was going to end up physically hurt.
He
brought a lot of tension into your life too, but you just fell for him. Like immediately, like a ton of bricks just came down, and you just fell for him in this incredible love at first sight thing.
Through the letters, that's when I met him, not really, but eventually, I decided to yes at some point, yeah.
So you fell in love with his mind first.
In a way, yeah. And you could tell that, I guess so, yeah.
That's so dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a very special kind of love, yeah.
Well, it's interesting because we also learn a little bit about your life when you were writing Dirty Plot. That it was, you had to get the zines out, and it was a really personal effort by you to do that. You were delivering them personally, you were mailing them out, and you write, life revolved around the mailbox. That's so, people don't even understand what that was like now because of email. But you did everything by hand?
Yeah. But it was so exciting.
Well, it seems very, very personal.
Yeah, but I have good memories. If I'm not a nostalgic person, but for that part, I have really good memories of that, just making the fanzines and mailing them, having this, I had rented that mailbox at the post office, so I had to go every day at the post office to check my mail, and since I was selling my comics through this mail order magazine,
wow,
which was called Factsheet 5, which was an American magazine. I was getting a lot of orders, but I was ordering lots of fanzines as well, which means that I was receiving a lot of mail, and that way also I had a lot of pen pals also, like John Porcellino was my pen pal from a long, 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 long time ago.
Yeah, that must have been great to actually get handwritten letters.
Oh, yeah,
from
yeah, yeah.
Fans.
And it was not only handwritten letters, it was mail art, you know, decorated letters, envelopes with tons of crazy stuff in the letters.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was so exciting.
Do you miss that now?
But I know at the same time that I don't really have the energy to do it. I still have a couple of pen pals, but when I have to sit down to write the letter, it always takes me such a long time to do it.
You're right. But I can't tell you the last time I actually got a handwritten letter. I mean,
I know.
I all I get is bills or ads, and everything else is on email.
Okay.
Yeah. When you retired from the long form comics, among the reasons you gave was that it was a lot of work for very little money. And I don't think most readers understand, we've been talking about it now, what a lot of work it is to put out a comic. Can you just talk about what the life of an independent alternative comic artist is and was then, and is it any better today?
Well, it really is not that much money.
I can attest to that, having done this myself too. So.
Oh yeah, well, it depends on different people, but to me, it was a lot of work. I mean, you draw one page. To me, to draw one page was 2 days' work.
Wow.
At least. And I was making comic books, so it's 24 pages plus the covers. And one comic book cost at the beginning, it was the cover price was $2.50, and you earned 10% of that cover price.
So
you really had to be regular and put out, a few comic books a year to make a living out of that. So.
But you do other kinds of artworks. You do lino cuts, you do collage work. And the examples, I've not seen one face-to-face. I've only seen them reproduced. But they're really good. They're really, really good. Is that more, can you make a living out of doing your other artwork?
No.
I didn't think you could. I was just hoping you would say yes, but I know.
No,
I don't know.
No.
Any artist friend of mine is not making a living out of their artwork.
No. No, but I've been, doing illustration work, and I've been selling my comics original pages and doing little things here and there. And in Canada, we're very lucky because we can get art grants,
yep,
which helps a lot.
It does.
So,
do you really yeah. do you enjoy making your prints more than you do your comics? Or is it apples and oranges? It's two different things.
Yeah, it's two different things. I mean, when I drew comics, I was happy to draw my comics. But when I do prints, I'm happy with doing the prints. And when I came back to drawing comics, I was happy with comics. I mean, I go back and forth.
Now you wrote. I haven't read this yet, but you wrote a book of poetry.
In French.
Ooh, is it?
Which one are you talking about?
So you've written several books of poetry in French.
No. Okay. You're talking about the self-published.
Okay.
Self-published little books.
I haven't seen them. All I did is read that you wrote a book of poetry.
Okay.
Did you?
I did many little self-published books that I printed myself, and they're all written with cutout words. It's all collage, and
you
can tell it's poetry, sort of poetry, but it's kind of a funny poetry. It's an irony poetry. Sometimes it's a.
Is it like your comics?
There's a bit of humor in it. Yeah.
Okay. are they shocking? Like your comics are shocking?
Some in French, there are some that are a bit shocking. Yeah.
Now, and this is my last question. Now that you've done another long form comic, the ultimate long form, because it is just one long form. Are you going to keep doing them, or do you think this is it for a bit and you're going to go do your other artwork?
Well, who knows? Who
Great.
Knows?
Good answer.
I don't know yet what's next. So,
everybody go out and buy her work so she can make more money and hopefully do more work.
Yeah. I just finished this one, and it was quite a big piece, so now I'm not quite sure what's next.
Well, we're out of time, and I'm so glad to talk to you. My guest tonight has been artist, comic artist, printmaker, poet, Julie Doucet, and we've been talking about her new book. I strongly recommend it. It's an experience reading it, Time Zone J. Julie, it's been a real pleasure.
Well, thank you.
You listen to 90.5 WICN. This is Mark Lynch. Good night.